Wake up, Lincoln.
Good morning. Good morning.
It's great to stay up late.
It's time for Early Break. Presented by NEBCO. Live from Lincoln, America. Here's 93.7 The Ticket's Jake Sorensen.
I like Stone.
Husker Online, Steve Sipple.
And here comes a sandwich from God.
And longtime college football assistant coach, Bill Bush.
Hey, somebody grab me a mocha quick, would you?
This is Early Break.
Welcome back to Hour 3 on a Thursday. Steve Sipple, Jake Sorensen with you. Bill Bush checked out. He is back in studio tomorrow. Hour 3 is sponsored by our friends at NEBCO.
The Co.
Now hiring at Concrete Industries for precast production laborers. Check it out today at concreteindustries.com or NEBCOinc.com. We were supposed to be joined by Mike Schaefer, but he had something pop up this morning, so we will not be joined by Schaefer. You had a question for me, though.
Yeah, there's a... I've been thinking about this all week, and I'm taking it to the road to Beatrice today.
Okay.
So, hey, by the way, I want to plug that. If you're in Beatrice today, stop by the VFW. It's over, it's right kind of in the middle of town. You know what I'm talking about?
Of course I do.
Yeah.
I'm from Beatrice.
Describe where that is, right off the highway, right off as you come in.
Yes.
Take a left. It's there. It's the crowds have been it. The crowds have been big, and I'd imagine it would be a pretty big crowd today with the USC game and everything going on. But if you're in Beatrice, stop by. And then the Ghost tonight, Omaha Holy Ghost, that's a tradition, a 50-year tradition. That's at 6:30 or 7 tonight. So it's a doubleheader. Now, I was gonna ask the people what they think about this. I was struck after the Northwestern game by the reaction of Nebraska fans, many Nebraska fans expressing their dissatisfaction. Even though Nebraska is 6-2, 3-2, was coming off a horrifying loss at Minnesota. And then you have discourse with people. And what occurred to me during those conversations, this is why I want to run by you.
Okay.
I believe that you could sell that Nebraska at 6-2 and 3-2 is overachieving at this point.
No. Disagree. I disagree.
What? Staunchly? Yeah, why do you staunchly disagree?
This is why.
Why?
I guess you have to ask yourself what the standard is in that, because Nebraska made a move this offseason, which we all have talked about, and it's worked out incredibly well to get Mike Eckler. Okay. I mean, Nebraska's special teams were atrocious for years. Not just 1 year, years.
Okay.
Bad. No punt returns, no kick, you know, missing field goals, bad punting. Everything was bad. We said that simply improving that a little bit would make this team win more games, or at least win the close games, right?
Yeah.
Mike Eckler has done what Mike Eckler does. It's improved special teams. They're blocking punts. They're returning punts. Kickoff returns for touchdowns. They're making field goals.
They are second nationally in the ESPN metric that weighs overall special teams play. Number two nationally.
I'll tell you this. That unit is overachieving special teams.
Why? Why are they over? Why aren't they just achieving?
Because they went from 100th something to second.
112th to second.
That's overachieving. And great. You want to be number one or two. That's awesome. So if we're going for one unit, I would say they are overachieving. The team itself is not. We entered this year. We said all offseason long, the schedule is for the taking. Like, you know what? We said, we'll back it up. Everyone would have looked at Nebraska's October schedule and said, that's what I want. We just said it last week. If you went back in time, everyone in the country would want your October schedule. They went 3-1. It was a good month. Minnesota was a bad loss. But no, I'm not going to sit here and say that they're overachieving at 6-2.
Here's why I say that.
They're where they should be.
Here's why I say that. Now, you would, if you're smart.
I'm not trying to be negative.
You could throw back in my face, Sipple. You predicted 9-3.
8-4, 9-3.
Right. Then I slid back to 8-4. And then I don't mind saying this. You have to reassess. And I thought the offensive line would be better. Okay. I thought that maybe after Michigan State, the defensive line had kind of turned a corner of sorts. I don't know that it has shown that it has in the last few games. So what I'm suggesting is to get to 6-2 and 3-2 with an offensive line that has just been so-so, a defensive line that is about what we thought, which was not great, and then getting to 6-2 and 3-2 with one running back that you essentially use, I think you can sell that's been a good, very good coaching job to coach around those limitations, especially up front.
I appreciate your premise on this, and I'm not attacking anything here, but if you – I mean, this fan base understood that the roster had questions at running back. Before, they were saying 8-4, 9-3. They said the schedule itself indicates this should be an 8-9 win team. Yes, there's been things that popped up that aren't as good as you thought, and some are better than you thought, like special teams.
Better than I thought.
The running back depth has not been great. It's been
we knew that.
And Emmett's been way better than you thought he would be.
Nobody thought
he'd be a potential first team Big Ten running back.
No, but I will say this: I thought a number two would move in to the. I thought there'd be a number two that would solidify himself, that would become a visible, discernible number two. Now you could say Mosey's that guy, but you know he's good for about four carries.
Right.
I mean a guy that's good for 12 carries and 60 yards sometimes.
I think everybody and their dog, when they went through Nebraska's schedule, not everybody, I'd say 97% of people would have had Nebraska at 6-2 or 7-1 right now of the fan base.
Okay.
I mean, I go back to the offseason, you know, Joel Klatt is picking Nebraska to be a dark horse playoff team, and other, he wasn't alone as ever. Because the schedule indicated it was possible. They didn't have an Ohio State. They don't have an Oregon. And right now, your toughest game in the schedule, back in August, Penn State is 0-4 in conference play. Like USC is 23rd. If you want to talk about overachieving, how about you go 3-1 in November, maybe even 4-0. Then we're talking overachieving.
Okay. Nah, you got me kind of convinced.
I think the fan base would have said, hey,
yeah,
we want 9 wins, 7 or 8 is probably a reasonable goal. Getting to 9 could still not be seen as overachieving, but I would say because of how bad they have been in November in the last 6 years plus, a 3-1 November, which leads to 9-3, would probably be on the verge of, you know, overachieving as a description.
You've got me fairly convinced that I'm misguided in suggesting that Nebraska's overachieved. What if I suggested that they've achieved about what you thought?
Yes, that's where I'm at. They have not underachieved. They have not overachieved. They have achieved. They are where they should be. We thought Michigan could be a game they won. They didn't.
Okay.
Now, the Cincinnati game has turned out to be a great win for Nebraska.
Back up, though. Okay, now, we haven't solved this little dilemma in my head. We didn't. We haven't. Because there was a lot of dissatisfaction after Northwestern, after the win. So why, if Nebraska is operating about what you'd expect, would there be so much dissatisfaction?
Well, because you still want to prove that you are better than those teams by far, that you're improving greatly. I mean, the problem with improvement and assessing if you're overachieving is that, I know we say it all the time, you have a team in your conference that is overachieving greatly.
I know, they're not.
And in the end, and they're not... An outlier or not, it's happening.
Like, I know, but it's an outlier.
At the hardest school to win at ever.
I get this. I've had this conversation in my head. I think it's sort of, I'm going to go patently unfair to say everybody should do what Indiana's doing. There's no reason why you can't do what Indiana's doing. That's the nature of an outlier suggests that it's an outlier, and it's a remarkable occurrence that you just don't snap your finger and say, hey, do what Indiana's doing. It's sort of unfair to judge every program.
I understand that.
To judge every new coaching hire in the context of Kurt Cignetti is patently unfair, okay?
Because he's incredible.
Well, he is.
He's the man.
He is. But that is patently unfair to do that.
But I'm still going to say Nebraska.
Look at Indiana. Look what they're doing.
Nebraska has achieved. They're where they should be. Now, if I go back in time, when we picked the schedule, wins and losses, I know for sure that when me and you and Bill – we're going through the schedule. I think we all three back in August said lost at Minnesota. We thought Friday night at Minnesota, Fleck kind of owns Nebraska.
Right.
Our thoughts changed on that before the game hit because Minnesota had lost to Cal and lost, you know, some other games. They thought that's winnable. But when we looked at the schedule, we thought that could be your first loss, if not the second loss after Michigan.
We reassessed.
All of us said that.
Yeah.
So
So what's the problem? Is it because the nature of the loss is what is the issue?
But again, I'm not sitting here saying they've underachieved. No, that's not even in the conversation. They have achieved. But I'm just saying I can't sit here and tell you that Nebraska's overachieved.
Okay.
Because they have not got their marquee win is against a team that at the time they beat them was not marquee. Cincinnati. Now it's a marquee win here in late October. But August 28th, that was just a nice win.
You can't speak for these people, but I can still ask you this
question. Hey guys, Jake Sorensen. Did you know your calendar age doesn't always match how old your body truly is? It's true. Your biological age, the age of your cells and organs, is actually the top predictor of your risk for serious diseases like heart disease, cancer, dementia, and more. That's why learning your biological age can be truly life-changing, and that's exactly what the True Age Test from True Diagnostic helps you do. It's a simple at-home test, and you can uncover your true biological age and get personalized insights into your true biological age and take control of your health like never before. No doctor visits, no labs, just a quick finger prick from the comfort of your home. This part really inspired me. Up to 90% of biological aging is driven by lifestyle. That means the way we eat, move, sleep, and manage stress plays a massive role in how fast or slow our bodies age. The test itself is super easy. Just a quick, painless finger prick. You send in your sample using a prepaid mailer, and in about 2 to 3 weeks, you get a detailed online report with actionable insights you can use. If you care about protecting your health and want to find out what your real age is, head over to TrueDiagnostic.com and use my code EARLYBREAK to get 20% off your entire order or subscription. That's TrueDiagnostic.com and use EARLYBREAK at checkout to get 20% off. Your future self will thank you. Hey guys, it's Jake Sorensen. The holidays sneak up fast, but it's not too early to get your shopping done and actually have fun with it. Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts you can't find anywhere else. Uncommon Goods has something for everyone. From moms and dads to kids and teens, from book lovers, history buffs, and diehard football fans to foodies, mixologists, and avid gardeners, you'll find thousands of new gift ideas that you won't find anywhere else. When you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses. Many of their handcrafted products are made in small batches, so shop now before they sell out this holiday season. And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. They've donated more than $3 million to date. So shop early, have fun, and cross some names off your list today. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/earlybreak. That's uncommongoods.com/earlybreak for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
Question. If Nebraska's achieved about what most people would expect, why is there so much consternation out there?
Because I think people thought that year three, and again, they still could, year three was the leap year for Matt Rhule. At Temple, at Baylor, year three is when he's really made the jump to 10 wins, 11 wins. And I think the loss to Minnesota put a damper on things. But they can still go 4-0. If they go 4-0 in November and get this nasty record they've had in the month of November out of here, change it greatly, get the ranked team problem out of it, beat USC, get that horrible 28-game skid out of the way, get Matt Rhule the big win, and then they go to UCLA and win at Penn State, and then if they win a big game against Iowa, the whole conversation changes about the season. That's why this is a massive month.
But I would say this. 4-0 is an unreasonable expectation.
Well, I don't expect it. But if they do it, I will 1,000% say they overachieve. And finally, you're on the right track here, big time on the right track.
3-1 is eminently possible. 2-2 seems what I would say you should go 2-2.
Yeah, and that would put you at 8-4, which is right where you thought they'd be. So that's why, how could you say they'd overachieved if that's the case?
Because I go back to what I said. They're not as good up front on offense as I thought they'd be. That's why. So they have had... I'd say the coaching staff has had to work around two major problems. Not very good up front on offense, not very good up front on defense.
But isn't that damning to your staff for not having that proper
team? I'm just one conversation at a time here, Sparks.
I'm doing the full conversation right now. I'm preparing for battle over here.
Yeah.
Got my shield up.
No, you answered it properly and you're very persuasive, but I'm just saying this in this season, are they overachieving. I forget the whole big picture discussion. Why is the roster where it's at? Where does it need to go? Where's it been? You get that question all the time. I'm assessing a season right now, not the program in its totality.
I guess I have a problem with if going back to preseason thoughts that if we thought 8-4 was the goal or right. could be happening, and they're on track for
they're on track.
I don't care what looks different than what you thought it would. Like, again, for what you say has been disappointing, I've got this for what's been better than you thought.
Right.
And that's why it equates to what the goal was and the expectation, which they are on.
There's some things. There's some things.
On path to be.
There's some things that are much better than I thought. Than I thought they'd be. Special teams number one, Emmett Johnson number two. I'd say Isaiah Hunter number three. I didn't expect.
He's been great.
Yeah, I didn't expect Isaiah Hunter to have this kind of impact. I thought maybe that'd be Dane Key, by the way. But Hunter, like when you look at this game, Hunter, Ja'Cory are gigantic. Key to a certain extent. But you can hit USC underneath on underneath routes, and if those guys can break a tackle, they can go, and that you're gonna need that. But those guys, and of course Emmett is gigantic in this game, just gigantic. Yes. Like he's ready too. He's healthy. He's locked in. Am I dead set on the notion that Nebraska's overachieved? No, I think one could make that argument.
But
you're pushing back very strongly.
I am. But also, for the fan base that, you know, you point out to some units that are disappointing, what you thought to be better, the offensive line. Matt Rhule's in his third year. And, uh-huh. and at Matt Rhule's previous stops, he's been known as fortifying the trenches, offensive and defensive line. So,
that's
when you expect that line to be good preseason, it's been disappointing. And that is that all on the players? Is that partially coaching? Because we thought that was going to be a great unit. And
I thought it could be a strength.
So whose fault is that? Is that talent or is it the coaching?
Well, there's a lot that goes
into
that.
Regardless, if you thought that was going to be a good unit, and Matt Rhule has historically had great trenches, for them to be as average as they are,
average,
is disappointing.
Yeah, I'm not going to say they're bad.
And that's why you can't say they're overachieving, because that was a thought. We said that was going to be good. They are underachieving there.
I will tell you this. I hate to say this. You have swayed me off of the overachieving angle.
I'm frankly surprised you were there in the first place. I'm trying to be polite. I'm trying to be polite.
I don't need your commentary on that.
I thought you were doing a bit.
No.
I thought it was a bit.
No, I thought.
But I think you mean it, though.
I do. I did. I thought you could sell it a little bit.
I mean, ways I can side with you. Nebraska has proven this year they can win close games. It's mm-hmm. been a problem for years. And that's partially special teams. It's partially, a full year of Holgorsen at coordinator. Yes, the losses of Ty Robinson have been massive. The defensive line has not been what you want it to be, and obviously Nash Hutmacher, but we knew that going into the season.
Jake, this is what I need to say. When I suggest they might be overachieving, now just bear with me. I have to choose my words carefully. I kind of have said it. I don't know how else to say it other than this team has some major limitations. Like major limitations. I don't want to say they're not that good, but they're not much better than Northwestern. And Northwestern is what in the conference? What's the stool rank them?
We had them at dead last at one point, or 17. Now they're at 12th, maybe? 12 or 13?
Yeah. And so Nebraska's not, would you agree, they're not that much better than Northwestern.
No. And we knew going into this year that beyond maybe the top three, and we had top four with Penn State up there, but mm-hmm. We didn't have Indiana preseason as high as we thought.
No, hold on. I'm on to something. If you're not much better than Northwestern and you finish 8-4, that's pretty good, right? And they're on track for that. That's pretty good. If you feel like they're not much better than Northwestern, if they're not much better than Michigan State, then you would say, and did you think they were appreciably better than Michigan State?
No, but this is, again,
it's a schedule
we
discussion.
We talk about achieving, overachieving. Yep, yeah, the schedule is in your favor. And I would ask the question for those, again, we will hear maybe this morning of a possible extension for Matt Rhule, which, again, will be end the Penn State drama likely, but in year three, did you expect them to be far better than Northwestern and Michigan State? I think fans would.
I never, when I predicted 8-4, 9-3, you'll notice, I never went to that card of, well, he did it at Temple and did it at Baylor. I don't, those situations are so much different than this one. Different leagues, different era of college football, no NIL. The building process is not even close to the same.
It's a pattern of success that somebody, if you
it's
want
a pattern of success, analytics it's irrelevant.
Or data points, it's something you can cling to.
It's a pattern of success that in my mind, and I've never said this until right now, is largely irrelevant because you didn't build those teams the way you build now.
Understood, but also the reason why people had hopes they could do that is we go back again and again and again to the schedule. If yes. Nebraska were facing what they have next year of Ohio State, right. Indiana, and Oregon, I think it's hard to expect, hey, this is the year they go 10 wins. That's tough. That's why Nebraska fans want to know that's possible again. Mm-hmm. Like they want to know that you can see Nebraska with a double-digit win total, and the schedule indicates that was and is possible still. And that's why you're depressed by the home loss to Michigan the way it's gone, because they've looked, they're good. They're not a great team.
No, they're not great.
And, you know, they're not going to beat Ohio State. They're not going to beat, you know, Indiana, probably.
Easy, hold on.
They have won four straight against Ohio State.
Easy on that.
On paper, they won't beat. That's why they play the game. Right. I get that. But but they got pounded by USC, who is an okay team. Again, we'll play, USC is good, but not amazing.
By the way, that's if there's one line in a story that scared me the most this week regarding Nebraska's chances against USC, it was Joseph Meyer's rundown on Husker Online of USC, the breakdown. And it said that USC bullied Michigan on both sides of the ball.
I watched that game. They did.
That's scary. Think about that. Think about that statement in the context of what you saw of Michigan versus Nebraska, particularly defensive line of Michigan versus offensive line of Nebraska, which was a horrifying mismatch at times.
That's why I think that Nebraska fans and Holgerson himself said the other day, we hope it's cold. Hope that USC just freezes themselves out and they don't want to play hard physical football.
I don't know if that would help. I don't know if it will hurt their defensive line.
You never know. From California. They like warm weather.
Wow. So what we settled on here is Nebraska's achieving at the level of what you'd probably expect.
And they have a great chance to have a good November against, you know, I think tougher teams in October.
Are they one,
and finish strong.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Are they one win away from overachieving in your mind?
No.
USC.
No.
Beat
no.
USC.
No. It's you want to beat Iowa. I mean, you UCLA and Penn State are not overly, they're tough, but they're not unbeatable road games.
Could you say right now?
Win a road game in November. Is that so hard to ask?
Could you say right now, after assessing the season, that 9 wins would be overachieving in the regular season?
A few minutes ago, I said I could give into that.
Okay.
Because that would mean a 3-1 November, which we've not seen in years here.
No. No, rules 1-7.
I know. Again, if they go 3-1 in November, they go 9-3, and I would consider that overachieving to a certain extent. Not a major extent, but to a certain extent. Before we get to break, I have an announcement for people.
You do?
This is big. What? We've been talking about Nebraska USC at length on the show this morning. Mm-hmm. If you wanted your chance to win tickets to this game or the black jerseys that they're donning, come down to the ticket studio in the mill here at 1040 O Street. We've got a drawing up by Luke at the mill at the front. We have the wheel. You put your name. There's a trivia question there. If you got to come down to answer the question, I won't tell on the air. You can see the question down there. If you get it right, put your name in the drawing. We will draw for that Friday afternoon. So we were going to draw for two pairs of tickets to Nebraska USC and also give away a black jersey.
Wow.
If you're following the ticket on social media at 937 the ticket on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, we've also posted a question, a graphic there. We're giving away another black jersey that way. So if you want to go to Nebraska USC, please come down, put your name in the wheel with the trivia question. We'll draw for those tickets tomorrow.
Okay, that's fun.
Huskers USC.
That's fun, right?
Yes, it is fun. Giving away fun stuff on the show. When we come back, Tom Izzo is rightfully so pissed about something.
I'll decide
we'll tell
that.
You what that is next on Early Break on the Ticket.